Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
And today we want to welcome back a returning guest. I think this is the third time.
It is the third time.
Yeah. So if you remember, Sean Shorthing, he's our business owner in residence. We love to talk to him about being a business owner. And he's a hairstylist at Siegel Hair Salon here in New York City in the West Village. So if you haven't checked out his website, you should. What's the website?
The website is Siegel Hair, like it sounds, S-E-A-G-U-L-L, hair.com.
So, thank you for coming back.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much for having me again. You know I love it here. I look forward to it and think about it on the daily.
Oh my goodness. So, Sean's the perfect person to answer today's questions because these listener questions are all about working for a business owner or an entrepreneur. So, and you know, we can answer those questions because we're business owners, but there's nothing better than having another business owner here.
The real McCoy.
Yeah, the real thing.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, guys.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you may work in a large corporation and you have a boss, which is one thing, and we know there's problems with that. That's why we wrote Working For You Isn't Working For Me. But when you work for a business owner, there's no one who manages them. It's really a unique breed. So I think these questions really speak to that. So,
that's
Logan,
true.
What's question one?
I'm working for a person who runs a small growing service business. I really love the freedom I enjoy at my job until my boss comes in and makes new rules, and they change from week to week and sometimes even day by day. I really like that I have the freedom to make my own choices at work, but how can I assert my opinions with a manager whose vision shifts practically every hour?
That's really hard.
Yeah.
Anybody here relate? Anyone here do this?
I mean, I certainly can relate to this question.
You've done it.
Yeah, I've done it. I think, you know, we're a lot more we're a lot more structured than we once were. But sure, of course. I mean, I think I get the feeling from this question that the business owner that the person's talking about sounds fairly new.
Uh-huh.
So it's difficult, I think, as a person who's working for a young entrepreneur. To understand that they really actually don't know what they're doing necessarily, you know, they're working out the kinks like we all are. It's like no one goes into this as a professional, but I think that the employees tend to think that the boss knows what's going on and has some structure there, when in fact they don't. So things are going to always be shifting. I think as far as asserting opinions, I'm not quite sure what they mean by that, but I think that one thing that can always happen is to stop. And even though it sounds like it might be really obnoxious, even if you have to do it every hour, ask what it is that the boss is looking for.
Right.
What's the top priority? Like, what is it that they want that day, that week, that hour? You can never ask that question too many times, and you're not going to piss your boss off by doing it.
I think that's true. The thing that is stunning to me about this kind of person is they don't have a strong enough belief in their own decision making. So they change their opinion a lot because it's depending on who they spoke to last.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So if they had dinner with a friend who said, no, you might want to look at it this way, then they're looking at it that way.
Right.
And then the next day they're talking to somebody else. So that's a little maddening to work for this person because you can't really get into their head. But I'm in complete agreement with you, Sean. I think you can't say enough. So
that's one of our managing up techniques, right?
What is
the
priority today?
Keep a pulse on your boss's changing priorities.
Exactly.
Which for an early business owner, they're always changing.
For sure.
Right?
And I can also say, I mean, if you can keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening on the hour, on the week, on the day, you certainly put yourself in the eyes of the boss as invaluable.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is I think what's interesting about most business owners is that they have what we call high ideaphoria. Mm-hmm. So that is, in order to have a business. You like that word?
I love it. What is it?
It's the generation of ideas. And so most business owners are visionaries to start with. They have a picture of what they want to see happen. and their minds generate. Kathy has actually off the chart high idea for it.
She does.
Yeah. really? Logan can attest to that.
I can vouch in our Monday meetings. No, it's great. It's a great quality to have.
I have my mouth open for those of you that can't
see. I hope I have that. I think it's really exciting.
Well, it's great and it's challenging at the same time. So the gift is that you have an idea a minute, right? So you can always come up with a new product, a new service, a new direction, a new marketing, The problem is to focus and drill down on one and follow it through to full completion.
Sure.
So this employee, actually, the opportunity that they have is to give some of those ideas feet, right? And so if you do your managing up, you could actually, you certainly can assert your opinion. Mm-hmm. You just have to know the landscape is going to keep changing. So if you hear a good idea, you can roll out a plan or a more concrete method for seeing it through. And know that still your business owner is going to have the next idea tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that I've seen that a lot at Siegel too with my employees and coworkers where they've decided to sort of like focus on one type of service right now. Pastel hair is really hot.
Oh, is it? What is pastel hair? What is that, like pink?
It's exactly what you're thinking it is. It is like hair is like bleached until it's clear and then, pale blues, aquas, things like this. Are attached to it. But, I found it's like one of my employees, Luke, was really, really great with blonde highlights. A girl named Sarah is really great with the pastels. And they sort of really firmly attach themselves to like those two different services. And even just doing something like posting photographs on the internet and on our website has allowed like this type of person who's asking the question, it's the same thing.
To take their idea and run
with it. To take their idea and run with it and really like solidify like what it is they want to do inside of the space and create structure for themselves.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Interesting.
It's been really successful at Siegel, and I always encourage it. It's just like sort of like whatever you want to do, like if there's something you're really great at, run with it. We have a curly hair specialist. She got a New York Times article.
Ooh.
Laura. It's just, it happens once you focus.
All right, so I think what we're saying here is the business owner is going to have a lot of ideas. They don't quite know what they're doing, so they're going to want to go in a lot of different directions. You have to be patient and flexible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Adjust, and at the same time, if you have an idea of your own, you can lay out a plan and run with it and keep a constant pulse on your boss.
Yeah, I mean, we also say, this is just kind of silly because we type things now, but we always say don't use a pen, use a pencil. Like this, because you're always like erasing whatever they said.
So push the delete, be ready to delete whatever it is you're texting.
Right. And again, I think I've said this before when I was here, maybe not about this exact situation, but the flip side of this person who is like so open to so many ideas that they're changing constantly every minute.
Yeah.
They're open to your ideas as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true.
And that's a really that's a really valuable asset, I think, in a boss, is to have that person be
available. I do think this is frustrating, though, because for somebody that doesn't have this, they want to hook onto one idea and see it through.
Sure.
So it can be very frustrating also.
Right. It can be frustrating and complimentary. You just have to develop some flexible patience.
Well, let's just take a quick break and we'll be right back with question number two.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Okay, welcome back. Logan, what's our second question?
I work for a very successful entrepreneur in a tech startup. She's very much about transparency around the office. Transparency with the workload and delegation, transparency with the budget, and her ideas for taking the company to the next level with social media, PR, making apps for the business, etc. I have two questions. One, what does transparency really mean in a work environment? And two, because the business is so transparent, I'm able to see ways in which it could improve. Should I offer my suggestions, or is this transparency really more opaque?
Good question.
Yeah. What is your business transparent?
My business is pretty transparent. I wouldn't say that I go as far as letting each employee know what their numbers are for the quarter, these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, most of them know like how much we pay in rent, what our bills are. You know, I keep them informed as to what my ideas are, how we're moving forward with the business. So yeah, I would say that we're fairly transparent by nature.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something that we really had to develop at Seagull.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really interesting question because I think you can be transparent to a point.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But there are certain things that are really going to be scary to staff. Like they don't need to know about the loans or the investors or the IRS.
Or your marital problems.
Well, they certainly don't need to know that. But they don't need to know the IRS problems, right. You know, mm-hmm. the taxes you pay, which just goes on, or the unemployment taxes, or how it's risen because some employee... drove them up. There's certain things I don't think everybody needs to know to do a good job. So I think it is opaque. I think this is a sort of a buzzword, transparent.
You don't like this word.
I don't know what it means.
I agree. I don't quite know what it means. I think that transparency has been like bandied about as like sort of like, yeah, a buzzword for like the last, what, 2-3 years?
Yeah.
Actually, it came into popularity when Obama got, our president was elected.
Oh.
That was his, one of his buzzwords, that he was going to have a transparent presidency.
Amazing.
Oh, so has he? I don't know.
I'd say it's been an opaque kind of transparency myself.
An opaque transparency. I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot to the, I think there's a lot to transparency. I think that people really latch onto the idea, especially business owners, that, you know, transparency is going to be this great trust building exercise.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to make all the workers like work better together because they all know what each other are up to. But I mean, you know, not everyone's to be trusted 100% all the time. I think, you know, I actually was reading something about this, and I was about trust in the workplace and how, you know, and when it's appropriate. And there are places to draw the lines, like for situations like when the outcome of a project is more important than the relationship to a person.
Yeah.
Transparency is then not the most valuable thing, nor is trust.
Right.
Right. Well, and also I think the question, it's funny because in a way this is also a boundaries issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of how much, I mean, what is an appropriate amount of transparency that can, and it's funny because Kathy and I, when we go into corporations, the single biggest complaint is the lack of communication. So you could say the lack of communicating transparency, right?
Sure.
That employees have a hard time that they don't know what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
So to figure out how much really helps an employee to know and then how much can be damaging is really the quest for many business owners and many managers, I think.
I know this is such an interesting question because I think too much transparency is a little scary. I mean, nobody's truly transparent. We don't know everything about everybody, right? We all have secrets.
No. Yes, we all have secrets.
We all have secrets. Good. Are we all on the same page?
I even have
we all have secrets. I just want to make sure everybody hears.
I have one secret.
You too.
just the one.
Just, you only have one?
I think that's it, yeah.
So, and there's a reason.
Yeah, there is.
There's a reason why we keep secrets.
There is.
Yeah.
Why is my chair empty all the time? Why am I not busy doing hair right now?
It's also a degree of privacy, right? And a degree of, as you're saying, what's appropriate in the workplace.
Exactly.
What people need to know and what's helpful to know.
Right. So I think that's just in your personal life, there's always secrets. So in your business life, there's bound to be things that really are not appropriate for other people to know. You know, unfortunately, a lot of the bad stuff people do know. They figure out.
Yeah.
They just do. But there are certain business things that I think that's the responsibility of the owner. We're talking about small businesses. I mean, it's the responsibility of the owner, I think, to not scare their staff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, well, going back to this question about the second question, which is I'm able to see ways in which it could improve because it is so transparent. Should I offer my suggestions or is this transparency really more opaque? And again, this is a really good question,
right?
Because I have this thing when people say something like, to be totally honest with you, blah, 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 blah. I always think, you know, you're not really honest. Otherwise, you wouldn't be saying this.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's a way to soften what they think is going to be harsh.
Well, I don't know what it is, but the same question comes to me with someone who says that they want everything transparent, right? That and that I invite all feedback. You really actually have to test the waters a little bit to see how much feedback are you really looking for.
Well, you also have to make sure that the person who, you know, is asserting that opinion, or who is asserting that quality about themselves, has done it because it's been solicited. Because as we all know, when you present yourself to someone in a way saying things like, I am the kind of person who is open to all suggestions in an unsolicited way, usually they're the exact opposite. And you can count on that about 90% of the time.
Oh, interesting.
That's the same with someone saying to be totally honest with you.
To be totally honest, like you know right away if you have not solicited that honesty, it is not going to be honesty.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, I think that staff should feel free to give suggestions, with the caveat that it may not be well received and they may not go anywhere.
Test the waters.
But you should always be able, if you see something that you think could work, I think most business owners do want to hear it. They may not act upon it, or you may not get the response you want, but you should be able to do that.
So how would a person approach, what's the best approach, do you think, in terms of how you phrase it or suggest?
Well, one thing I know doesn't work is when you send a long email. Because we've seen those emails.
With no breaks in it, no bullets.
Right.
Like just blah, 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 blah.
No punctuation, straight chunk of a paragraph.
A long text is even better.
Almost.
That's really bad.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think you should set up a meeting with a business owner. I mean, I remember once I gave, remember Armand DeMille? We used to rent space for him, from him to run our business groups. And I took him out to lunch, and I said, I have ideas. And he said, whenever someone takes me out to lunch, it costs me money. He was right. He kind of knew it. But it was to redecorate the office, and he actually did it. He agreed with me. But, you know, so I think you have to set up a meeting. Maybe at the end of the day, don't take somebody's valuable time and say, I have some suggestions. You may or may not want them. Can I voice them and see what happens?
Right. If the intention is to make things better for the company.
Right.
Usually a good-hearted boss will be interested in hearing.
They want to hear it, but don't belabor it and go back and back and back.
I think so, too. I was just, you know, I think I've talked before on here about how I'm a huge fan of TED Talks all the time, and I was just watching Barbara Corcoran this morning talk about how she used to have a suggestion box and how she would pay every single person who put a suggestion box every week $1 for both the good ideas and the bad ideas.
Wow.
I'm not quite sure how this applies to that, but
it's interesting.
She's obviously like a really, you know, major real estate magnate here in New York. And she has, I think what she was asserting was that she has sort of like built her business off of like other people's suggestions and other people's failed suggestions, both. You know what I mean? So regardless of whether the input gets used or not, it's valuable.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely, because it gets a person thinking in a certain way. So I'm always, you know, I'm always very curious about any of my employees' or coworkers' ideas, because sometimes it gets me thinking in a way that I wouldn't have normally thought, even if I'm not going to use their suggestion.
So have people brought some good ideas to you?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Well, we had a book a while back, we didn't write. One book we did not write. I think it was called Paradigm Shift, and one of the really interesting points in that book was that you should listen to the newest employees because they have the freshest eye your current business model and will come with the best ideas of how to improve it.
Yeah.
I think that is 100% true.
Yeah.
I have a pretty good track record for, you know, all the jobs I've had, which are not that many before I started a business, but I would really think about it and had some solid ideas, but I always presented them very carefully.
Yeah.
I think that listening to the newest employees is really great as far as like expansion and thinking towards the future, and like a future vision. But I also think that listening to the employees that have been there the longest is really good as far as like creating an environment that is like structurally sound, and not not necessarily the thing that's growth, but the thing that's like, you know, what's going to keep them there.
Yes.
That keeps them the most comfortable. So I think that both opinions.
You know, what's also really interesting, valuable. And we recommend to a lot of our small business clients, is to run strategy sessions with your whole staff. You know, sort of an offsite where you brainstorm the future and talk about, you know, different initiatives and taking the business to another place, because they do have thoughts, they do have ideas, and they can have buy-in. We've done it.
And Logan has some great ideas.
Yeah.
Do you think this person suggests doing a strategy session?
That last one we did was really fun, and we got this great off-site space.
Yeah.
What was that called?
Oh, Breather.
Yeah, Breather.
Yeah, we
got
to rent a Breather room.
Oh, I know Ooh. About Breather.
Yeah, I think they're all over the country. It was a wonderful room, and so we had a really good session. We brought in a professional strategist to help us with it, so that was very helpful. But she didn't, you know, she just generated the questions. We had the ideas. So, yeah, that's another way to, I think, have some form of another form of transparency.
Well, Sean, you were saying something?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I cut you off?
Oh, I don't think you did. No, I was. I could say more.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think you guys are giving me some great ideas to go back and have a brainstorming session. It's great. I always love those situations where you're kind of putting yourself in the line of fire.
Yeah.
It's super. It's actually really exhilarating.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, again, I would say I agree with everything that we've all said. I think that the suggestions should definitely be made, whether they're heard or not, and don't consider it a failure if your boss is not receptive to your ideas. Just keep thinking of more.
Yeah,
it's not a problem.
Right.
It's interesting because I think back to the sales paradigm, which is, you know, what if you're offering someone, it should be saving them either time or money.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you could think about when you want to offer your transparent boss transparent ideas, they could be saving or making them time or money. Like really think about when you're talking about thinking it through, Kathy, really think about how can this idea enhance where we're trying to go
here.
Mm-hmm.
I found that my stylists are really... what they want a lot of times is like new tools, new colors, like new interesting things to work with. And if I say, you know, this is like outside of the budget, we've already given, you know, ourselves this many new things in the last quarter. And it's really a lot of stuff, opening 4 new accounts with like, you know, different companies and distributors. And I've directly said, if you can find a way to eliminate some of the things that are unnecessary in the workplace to create better flow, that's clearly going to open more room for me to consider bringing on more things. And I mean, they go for it.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
go
see,
for
that
it.
That makes sense, though, because you're giving them the opportunity to really help you redesign the business. That's
sure.
So you're not doing it alone. That's terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, that I really like that. So I want to come work for you. I just don't know how to cut hair. Is that okay?
It's not that hard.
I don't think that's true. I think it takes a lot of technique.
I don't know. No, I just dance around a lot. And,
what?
No, I'm just kidding. It's difficult. You do have to have a good eye for it. It's
you have
true.
To be an artist. You, yeah. That's skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to be a crafts person. Mm-hmm.
It's a skill.
I've always sort of like pushed away the idea that I was an artist.
I see.
I feel very much like a service person and a craftswoman, craftsperson.
Interesting. Yeah, I can get that.
Yeah, it's just me though. You know, that's just my jam.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, we could go on forever on these topics, but that's it for this show.
Yes. Yeah, so tweet us your stories and your advice about working for business owners or entrepreneurs, and join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Review us on iTunes, and don't forget to send your questions and your stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.